Colton Parayko with that wraparound game winner last night in overtime as the Blues knocked off the Islanders 3-2. And the man who called that goal, those goals, Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues, is with us now on 101 ESPN. Kerbs will have the call tomorrow night as the Blues take on the Stars. Mitsubishi Electric pregame show at 6. The BMW of West St. Louis skate at 6:30. And then the play-by-play with Kerbs and Joey at 7 o'clock. Oh, by the way, tonight, Alex Ferrario and Joey Vitale from 6 to 8 with This Week in Hockey, followed by our Boardwalk Hardwood Floors Behind the Bench show, John Kelly and the coach, Craig Berube. Kerbs, how you doing?
Randy, doing good. How are you?
Everything's great. It was interesting last night, and I was listening on the pregame or the postgame show after the wraparound, and you actually mentioned it because of it. Mike Van Ryan mentioned it. Everybody in the world that watches the Blues says, man, we'd love to see Colton Parayko just wind up and use that shot that he has. And of all things, it was a wraparound goal that stood up as the winner last night.
I know. We sat there for probably about 7 or 8 minutes after the game, breaking down that shot in the comments of Mike Van Ryan. And then we had to remind everybody, yeah, but it was his wraparound that won the game. So, but you know what? Like, you really have to just go to experience on this one here. And, you know, first off, you really kind of kept questioning, how come we don't see 55 on the power play? And you got to think, okay, well, there were three different coaches and successful coaches in Hitchcock and Yo and Berube that haven't used him on that, right? And so you're like, okay, well, then it's not like there's got to be something bigger. They're all seeing something. But I do think the reality when it comes to the big 55 there is, you know, for him, it's still just learning the game. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and you almost tend to realize that he's kind of been, and sometimes late bloomer seems to have a negative connotation, so I don't, you know, it's not like he hasn't figured it out, you know, but he wasn't scouted as heavily as others, you know, playing when and where he was playing. He goes to play college hockey at Alaska, plays there for 3 years, you know, comes onto the scene, frankly, maybe a year or so before it was expected. Remember, he was supposed to be, he and Joel Edmondson were competing to be a number 7 defenseman, and those two guys basically outplayed Bortuzzo and Gunnarsson for roster spots that year. So then you just talk, and whether it's McInnes, whether it's Pronger, whether it's Barrett Jackman, all the Blues defensemen that have come through, and we talk about the development, you know, you realize that Colton Parayko is in only year number 5. I mean, Alex Pietrangelo has got basically 6 years experience on Colton Parayko. And you put all that together, learning how to play defense in the National Hockey League, and maybe this is just continued, you know, development where, yeah, the guy didn't with his shot roll on the scene, you know, in a ball of fire and start hitting bombs like Albert Pujols did when he first got to the plate. But in the end, you may end up with a guy that's going to prove to be the best defenseman in the league.
Absolutely. Kerbs, we're going to put you on hold for a second. We're going to call you right back so that we can get a little bit better connection. Chris Kerber with us on 101 ESPN. And it does take a long time for a defenseman to become proficient. It really is the hardest aspect of hockey to learn, because you have to skate backwards. You have to, rather than your whole life being aggressive in hockey, you have to learn to be more passive. And especially when you're a defenseman like he is with so much offensive ability, I think sometimes it gets in your head that you do, your whole game becomes passive. And offensively, you tend not to do the things that everybody else thinks you should.
Yeah, but to me, honestly, I think that is the most impressive aspect about Colton Parayko, as we do have Chris Kerber back with us. Kerbs, I was talking about Parayko in general, and to me, one of the most impressive things is that he hasn't gotten caught up in the fact, all the stuff that we're saying, right? The shoot it all the time. He's got so many offensive weapons that he doesn't use all the time. To me, I think that you could see a lot of players just falling in love with that and then forgetting about the other things that they're supposed to be doing. That's impressive that he hasn't fallen in love with that aspect, is it not?
I think it's a good observation, and I think number one, it's his makeup. But number two, I think there's a couple other factors that play into this. And I think if you look at the way the Blues structured last year when they really started to get on a roll and started to find their stride, they wound up using, whether it be Carl Gunnarsson and Alex Pietrangelo, or at times Vince Dunn and Alex Pietrangelo, in more of that kind of that puck-moving offensive role. and they really used Bouwmeester and Parayko in a shutdown role. And I'm telling you, Al MacInnis, at the end of the year before the playoff season started, we had a late season game in Chicago. We were talking to him and Berube, and Al MacInnis had no ifs, ands, or buts. He said, I think right now Colton Parayko is the best defending defenseman in the National Hockey League. And that's a heck of a statement there. And then you look at kind of how things have transpired this year, and they bring in Justin Falk. They want to kind of get him much more involved. But eventually, you know, about 3 weeks ago, they made the switch, and on that second power play unit, it's really only getting 20 to 30 seconds of power play time, a shift, it seems to be. They put him on it, and they're making the effort to get it to him, and they put him on the left side, where Ovechkin likes to shoot, and they're working on him getting the one-timer. Now, on the same time, Colton is also doing a better job of getting ready to take that shot. And I talked to Larry Robinson in training camp last season, and he said, I mean, we're talking about a Hall of Fame defenseman, one of the most decorated defensemen in terms of Stanley Cup championships, whether as a player, as a coach, or with an organization. And he said that the people, when Larry Robinson was going into his fourth year, they were saying the same things about him that he's hearing people say about Parayko. You wish he had a meaner streak in him. You wish he goes, you don't need that. It's just how you use your stick and then how you play, and you can dominate in this league with his size and ability. And I think Larry Robinson over the last 12 to 18 months has just been a spectacular resource for Colton Parayko.
And by the way, Larry Robinson will join John Kelly tonight on Behind the Bench here on 101 ESPN.
So, Chris, as we look at this team, there are a lot of different players who have been contributing in bigger ways lately. One of them is Zach Sanford, who has looked so much more confident. He's been just a bigger part of the offense, especially in the last few weeks. What is it about him? What has he figured something out? Is it just that simple that something has clicked for him?
He says that he's really getting an understanding of how to play hard on the puck, how it is to play hard against. And then it's just trusting his feet and trusting his skill and not having to think about it so much. So once a player starts to gain confidence in what their skill can do, they quit thinking kind of more about the skill, and now you just start to play, and then that natural talent that got you there really starts to shine. So I think that's part of it. You know, Craig Berube made a comment to us a while back this year, and I think at the time Zach was playing okay, but you know, wasn't and hadn't quite had some of the peaks and valleys. And he said, look, players have to realize, and he used Zach as an example, but he was really, well, the question was asked more about the younger players coming along. And he said, and at some point a player has to decide. You can play the style of play that you're playing and find a job in the National Hockey League and be okay, but you won't be able to find your job on this team. Because we play a certain way, we need a certain style, we need you to bring, and Craig's word, guys, is compete. And it does, like, there's different styles of play with pretty much every skater that the Blues have, but the one thing that he wants to see is compete. And when you ask him about the success of Jordan Kyrou, he's talking compete. When you ask about Robert Thomas, he's talking, they're compete. Their willingness to hold on to the puck. They want Robert Thomas to hold on to the puck more, to not necessarily try and get that pass right away, to hold on to it because he can win those puck battles. And I think that goes back to Zach Sanford. And I whether he made that statement directly to Zach or in one of their coaching sessions, he referred to that kind of idea of, look, you can keep doing this and maybe find a job somewhere, but it just won't be here. I don't know if that statement was exactly made, but if that's the philosophy and that thought process got through, it looks like something has definitely gotten through almost in the similar time frame with both Sanford and Kyrou. So whatever it was has definitely clicked.
Hey, Kerbs, one other thing, and I know this sounds strange and simple, but I think last night was the last two games are another example. The Blues are just good at winning. They're good at finding a way to win games.
And when coaches, it's really kind of awesome. It's the part that when you hadn't won a championship before, you didn't hear. Like every time you go into a building, someone's running a promo, you're playing the defending champs, right? I think it was Dallas Eakins in Anaheim when asked the question. Dallas Eakins said, look, You're playing a team that won the Stanley Cup. You're playing a team that knows how to win. You're playing a team that knows how to play. And if we don't bring it every single shift, every single one of their players knows how to beat us now. I mean, and you're hearing that kind of statement made by almost every single coach that comes in, and everyone is making a statement of they know how to win. And I've told you guys before, Al MacInnis made that comment to me on the flight home from Game 7. And when he said that, that the difference you're going to see now is every one of these players knows how to win, and that confidence you're going to see it in their play. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about, Randy. I think Jeremy Rutherford, you know, he broke down on Twitter some of the comments from the game last night. And it honest to God looked like an old mid-90s New Jersey Devils team in the second or the third period, you know, and you're just going, oh, this is boring as hell, you know. And the difference was is it wasn't Martin Brodeur in goal. And so eventually you're going to get those chances, and the Blues did and ended up winning the game. This team, again, they just seem to be relentless. They don't give up. And here's an interesting thing. And I don't know, Brad. I don't know how this relates kind of to the battle like we always talked about with Chris Carpenter and, you know, and that kind of thing. But when the team in front of Jordan Binnington and Jake Allen see how hard those guys are competing, even if four goals are going in, it fuels the team to say we can come back. And it actually works just the other way, too. When the goaltenders see the teams battling back from a two-goal deficit, it fuels their compete level. And that's something the coaches talked about yesterday I thought was a great aspect of this team.
Yeah, I think it's cliche, Curbs, but really how a team responds tells you how much they care about each other. Like to a man, yep. And I think that's a great example, right? A guy like Adam Wainwright gives up six, his team comes back and scores eight, say, hey, we got you. Like stuff like that is important, and I think it means a lot.
Yeah, and that's exactly, we talked about it with David Alexander, the Blues goaltending coach, yesterday morning about the Chicago game and how, look, even when the goaltenders are having an off night and four goals go in and five goals go in, the team is still right in these games. Like, you don't feel like you're out of some of these games. And that's because of the way they're playing for each other and still competing that way.
Curbs, always great to have you with us, and we're looking forward to the game tomorrow night against Dallas.
Yeah, that one's going to be an awesome tilt on a Saturday night. I can't wait for it. Have a great show, rest of the show, guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Have a good weekend. Thank you, Curbs. That is the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, here on your home of the Blues, 101 ESPN. Next up, we want your texts to the Air Comfort Service text line at 65780. The Sports Six Pack is coming your way on 101 ESPN.